So my youngest son just finished his last year of preschool, and I'm excited to not pay for preschool next year. But in the meantime, I love taking him to preschool every day. I love connecting with the other kids and hearing from them and just seeing what was important. I love connecting with the other parents and just sort of talking to them. And it's really interesting, if you haven't been in preschool in a while, and that's most of us, to think about the kind of things that excited those kids, right? Simple things, but parts of your day that you might have forgotten from way back then. When Will would earn a trip to the treasure box in his class, man, he'd lose his mind. He would be thinking about it for days ahead, the toy that he was going to go pick out of the treasure box. He would get so incredibly excited about that. And with all the little simple things that would happen in his preschool, I think the thing that got him most excited when he was going to school was when it was his day to be the line leader. You remember that? When you're the line leader in preschool or elementary school, what did it mean? It meant that you were out in front. It meant that everybody was following you. It meant that you set the pace, that you set the schedule, that you got to sort of pick where your class would go. In the hallway, you were up by the teacher. And here's the thing. When Will wasn't the line leader, his goal was to always be as close to the front of the line as he could. When it's time to line up, what do little kids do? Man, they run to the line, right? That they run, that they want to be close to the front. They do not want to be last in line. And to hear a preschooler talk about it, it's really funny, just sort of hearing what's going on in their brain and how it all works. But their goal is do not be last in line, all right? And that should be our goal too, all right? That's the title of our message this morning, do not be last in line, right? None of us should be the last person in line. And here's what I mean when I say that. I don't mean run out of here when we're done. I don't mean cut people off in the parking lot. I don't mean, bump somebody out of your way at the hostess stand at lunch. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say this, that as Christians, we should not be the last in line, here's what I mean. Do not let the gospel stop with you. Do not let the gospel stop with you. Think about it. Look at the screen. That's you on the screen. Just imagine that's you. I got the hair wrong, the eyes wrong, I'm sure, for most of us, right? But just imagine that is you. At some point in your life, if you know Jesus, it's because somebody told you about Jesus, right? Maybe it was a mom or dad. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a life group leader. Maybe it was a friend in high school or college. At some point, somebody told you about Jesus. Maybe you had an army of people in your life telling you about Jesus from the time that you were really, really young. If that's you, you're incredibly blessed. But no matter who you are, if you know Christ, look at that. Somebody told you about Jesus. And then here's the beautiful thing, right? The way that God designed this, the way that it works, if somebody told you about Jesus, well, somebody told them about Jesus, right? That's how it goes. That line goes backwards a little bit, right? We're two generations back now as far as sharing the gospel, right? The line didn't stop with them. The line goes on as the gospel moved forward. And we could do this for a long time and trace it all the way back to Jesus, right? We could go even further back. We go to Jesus. We go to the disciples. We go to the early church. What did they do? I mean, they continued to share the gospel. Lewis just said it. They continued to share. They were not the last in line. It flowed through them. Now, if you look at the screen now, there's a lot of investment in you, right? There's a lot of flow and force of the gospel moving to you. There's a lot of generations that have done a lot of things. They have shared a lot of things. They have loved a lot of people. They have invested in their community. They've been salt. They've been light. They've shared a lot to get all the way down to you. And our goal this morning is to be reminded, to be encouraged, maybe to be challenged, poked, or prodded. I don't know where you're at right now. The goal this morning is this. It can't stop there, right? You cannot be the last person in line. Right, at some point, you should be able to turn around behind you and you should see some people following Jesus the way that you're following Jesus. Go ahead and put that on the screen, guys. And here's the thing, as you lead people to Christ, as you share the love, the hope, the light of Jesus with the world, there's going to be other people now that are following Jesus. And guess what? They're going to share the gospel with other people that'll start following Jesus. And it's this generational thing that keeps going and going and going, right? That's the way that God has set this up, and it continues forward to the generations that are going to come, right? People know Jesus because God works in their heart as Christians tell them about Jesus. If you look at the picture, you see this flow of the gospel, and I want you to think about it in this context. We're in the middle of a relationship series, right? Not necessarily an evangelism series. We're in the middle of a relationship series. And so this morning, I want you to think about a relationship you've got, a very specific relationship. I want you to think about your relationship with our community, specifically with the people in our community that do not know Jesus, with the people that aren't in line yet, with the people that don't know Christ yet, with the people whose hearts and lives haven't been changed, with the people who don't have the promise and the hope and the future of heaven awaiting them one day. What is your relationship like with people that don't know Christ? Now let me ask a follow-up question. What should it be like? What should your relationship be like with people that are here in our community? Have you ever thought about your purpose for the constant connection and conversation and interaction with the people that you see and know and meet and run into each and every day? I mean, think about it. Right here in Spring, Klein area, think about Tomball, think about Conroe, think about the Woodlands, think about wherever God has you each and every day out in the community. I can promise you that your interaction, that your relationships, that they're not random, that every interaction that you have is full of purpose if you're looking and viewing those relationships through the lens of God's Word. Listen, the line that we just saw on the screen, that line absolutely must continue out into the world, in the community around us each and every day. Because if you look at the community, if you look at the world right now, listen, you know there's a lot of hurt, right? You know, you see that there's a lot of pain in the world, there's despair in the world, there's tragedy in the world. 2 weeks ago, the tragedy was in Uvalde. This week, the tragedy was in Tomball, right? A lot of you know that family, been praying for that family, loving on that family. Listen, there's hurt in the world. There's a lot of different things going on right now. As followers of Jesus, God has given us these very special, very unique relationships with people that do not yet know Him, with people that do not yet have the joy and the hope that comes from knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. He is sending us out. That there is too much at stake for us to miss this. There is too much at stake for you or for me to be the last person in line of the gospel. The gospel should not stop with us. It should flow through us. We're going to see that in Matthew chapter 5. If you got a Bible, open to Matthew chapter 5 this morning, and you're going to see that you are never designed, never intended to be the last person in line. We're going to look at the words of Jesus, and these words are actually in the middle of a famous sermon from Jesus. It's a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, and as you read it, you're going to see that there should be this growing line of people that have trusted in Christ behind us. Matthew chapter 5, look down at verse 13. These are the words of Jesus to followers of Jesus. He says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if a salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Remember, these are the words of Jesus to the followers of Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Christ, these are the words of Jesus directly to you. In these four verses, it's a short, memorable passage of Scripture. Jesus tells you, and He tells me, that we are two very specific things serving a great and glorious and eternal purpose. If you're a follower of Jesus, just know and understand that you're salt, right? You are salt. Jesus isn't speaking of something that you're going to become one day. He's not saying, if you keep walking with me, you're going to grow into this. He's not saying, I hope that one day you'll attain this level. He's saying that's your current reality as a Christian. And so our first point from the Bible this morning is found right there, verse 13. Look at it. Point number one is simply this: stay salty. Stay salty. Not the way the culture uses it today. Use it Jesus's way, right? Stay salty. There's a reason that Jesus spoke this way. Jesus didn't look and say, you're the chocolate of the earth or the sugar of the earth. if you are what you eat, he might look at me and say, you're the sugar of the earth, right? But he didn't say that. He said, you're the salt of the earth for a very specific reason. Salt was amazingly beneficial to people living in the first century. It is today too, but the first century, man, it was key. It was a fundamental human necessity. It was needed in their lives. It brought flavor. Sure, we get that. It preserved. Salt was a major cleaning agent. Salt was a major purifying agent. Salt was even used in sacrifices to make some sacrifices right and ready to be offered up before God. Here's the point, right? This is why Jesus said this. Salt benefits the world in fundamental and needed ways. And in the same way that salt is beneficial to the world, Christians are beneficial to the world, right? Think about it. Christians should be beneficial to the world around us, to the community, to those that don't know Jesus. What's that mean? Well, it's clear if we read the Bible and if we live like God's called us to live, that salty Christians benefit the world by telling the world about the love of Jesus. Christians benefit the world by living in a way where they love their neighbor just as much as they love themselves. Christians benefit the world because they're generous, they're unselfish, they're caring, they're compassionate. Christians show up when people have needs. Christians show up when people are hurting. Christians show up when people need a little bit of love or encouragement or peace in their life. That's just the way that God has designed us. It's the way that he's called us to live. Christians don't only just take care of their own. Christians take care of anyone that has a need. You think the world benefits from Christians living out the word of Jesus each and every day? Of course it does. And the world benefits in major ways when we live out the gospel, not only in action, but in attitude. And think about the fruit of the Spirit that is in us as followers of Jesus. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Do you think that it is beneficial to the world when that is flowing from believers in a generous way to everyone around them? Of course it is. Right? It's completely contrary to everything else that's going on in the world right now. Stay salty. Right? Live in a way that benefits the world. If your Bible's open, look back at verse 13. I want you to look at a specific word here. Verse 13, Jesus says this. What happens when a salt loses its taste? Your Bible might say when the salt has lost its saltiness. Now, it's translated that way so that you and I can make sense of it in the passage. It's translated that way so that we can understand. But the verb that it's translated has lost its taste, the literal translation means to make foolish. Right? What has happened when the salt has been made foolish? Right? What has happened when the salt has been stupefied? And what Jesus is saying here is it's not a natural thing. It's not natural for salt to become unsalty. It's impossible for the salt here to become unsalty. It can't happen. It shouldn't happen. If it were to happen in some unnatural or opposite world, the only thing that it could be good for now is to be thrown under people's feet, thrown out on the ground, because it's no longer fulfilling its purpose. Jesus is saying to the believer, listen, you're salt, so stay salty. You're salt, so live salty. It would be a very unnatural thing for you to live in the world and not bringing the benefits of Jesus out into the world around you. And listen, he goes on. Look at verse 14. You're not only salt. Jesus says you are the light of the world. So first point, stay salty. Second point is easy. It's shine bright. Right? When Jesus says you are the light of the world, think for a minute. Have you heard that phrase anywhere else in the Bible? Jesus says you are the light of the world. You might be thinking, wait a minute. Jesus said that about himself, didn't he? Yeah, John chapter 8. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But now, Jesus is saying it about his followers. As we reflect Jesus, the light of life to the world. In the book of Acts, there's this city called Antioch. And as the gospel continues to spread, the gospel goes to a city in Antioch. And so the people there, it's this mixture of people. Some believed in the Roman gods. Some believed in the Jewish laws and traditions for their salvation. And now that the gospel's introduced, there's people there that begin trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior in the city of Antioch. And listen, the first person wasn't the last person in line, thank the Lord, right? He shares the gospel with other people, and then they share the gospel. Now there's this group of people in the city of Antioch that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the people living in the city, as they saw this group gathering together, as they saw this group living out the words of Jesus and living like Jesus lived, they're like, we don't know what to call these people. Right, that there's no name for them yet. Well, what do we do? What do we say? How do we refer to them? And so the city of Antioch is where the term Christian or the label Christian was first used to describe this group of believers. Right, and Christian to them, it meant little Christ. Right, there's a bunch of little Christ running around. Why? Because they're talking like Jesus. They're acting like Jesus. They're imitating Jesus. They're living out the words of Jesus. These people are little Christ because they're living like Jesus. Listen, we see that today, right? Now, you can tell that kids and parents go together, right? You ever met a kid and then a few minutes later you meet their parents and you're like, oh, I get it. Those of you that work in our kids ministry, right? And you see the kid all morning long, the parent picks them up and you're like, oh, that's where they got that word. That's where they got that phrase. That's why they are the way that they are. Listen, it just happens. Right, my kids say the things that I say, for better or worse. They act like me, you know, for better or worse, right? That they take our traits and they begin to live it out. Same with you. You have things from your parents that are instilled in you, and you are so thankful that they instilled that in you. Right? You're acting like your parents. In other ways, there's things that have been instilled in you that you're very frustrated with your parents about, right? Your kids are going to say the same thing about you, right? We act like our parents, right? We act like the ones that raised us. There's these mannerisms, these things that are instilled in us. As Christians, as children of God, we should be reflecting what is in our heart. We should be reflecting Jesus. Jesus said, He is the light that brings life to the world. So those of us that know Him, that are His children, should have that hit the light of Jesus shining through us out into the world around us. And think about what light does. When you turn on a light in a room, what do you expect to happen? It's not a trick question, right? Light in the room. You walk into a dark room, you flip the switch, and now you can see everything. It lights things up. Look at verse 15 in your Bible again. Easy train of thought. Jesus says, listen, you're the light of the world. City on a hill can't be hidden. That means it's going to be big and bright. It's going to be up so people can see it. And then He says, you're not going to light a lamp and then hide it under a basket. You would not do that. You wouldn't light a lamp and then cover it up. It would not have happened. Back then, a lamp would have been about the size of my hand, this little clay kind of jar. You put some oil in it, and you light the top of it, and it gives off light. Not a ton of light compared to the light that we have in our rooms. And so what they would have to do is they would have to elevate that lamp to the highest point in the house, right? To the highest point so that they could maximize the light coming from the lamp, so that the light could spread out and go to every nook and cranny of the room. Are you following me? The light was maximized by where it was placed. And the same is true for us, right? In order for us to do what we're created to do, in order for us to be lights of the world, hear me say this, you must be visible. You've got to be seen by people in our community. You've got to be seen by people that don't know Jesus. You're not called to live in isolation. You're not called to shrink back or to run away from people that don't know Christ. To use the words of Jesus in verse 15, you're not called to be this bright, shining light for Christ only to be hidden under a basket. No, you're supposed to shine bright. And here's the incredible thing. When you look around and everybody's here and everybody in the next service and everybody in kids ministry and student ministry and everywhere else, when you think about it, if all of us are lights that are shining bright for the gospel and we go out into the world, we make a huge impact. Right? Think about it at a concert when somebody tells you to get a light out and you turn your cell phone light on and you hold it up. Imagine being, you know, at the rodeo and you're the only person in there holding your light up. It's not going to make much of an impact, is it? It's going to make a little impact. The people that are around you are going to see it, right? But imagine 50,000 people all holding it up together. When all 50,000 are holding it up together, I want you to think about this. No matter where you are sitting in that stadium, you are close to a light. And when we go out together, shining bright in the community, no matter where you live in our community, hopefully there is a Christian, a follower of Jesus, shining bright, pointing people to the hope that we have in Christ as our Lord and Savior. So shine bright. And as you shine bright, I want you to remember this, that spotlight that you've got, that spotlight is not for you. Right, that spotlight's not meant to be shining on you. That brings us to our last point. Stay salty, shine bright, and then show people Jesus. Look at verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So they can see your good works and give you all the glory. Is that what your Bible says or no? Look in your Bible. Look at verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and do what? And give glory to God. All right, give glory to your Father in heaven. They should see you shining bright. They should see the love and the hope and the life, the grace, the peace of Jesus, all of that flowing through you. And what does it cause them to do? Man, it causes people to see God. It causes people to know God. It causes people to look to God when we shine bright. That's what Jesus is saying there. We have to be very careful. Jesus says, fire up the spotlight, shine bright, but be very, very careful not to shine it on you. I'm just telling you, that's a tough thing because our world is all about self, right? Our world is all about this is what I've got, this is what I've done, this is where I'm going, this is who I am. Our world is all about focusing on ourselves and the things that we've done. I think that's one of the reasons why we have so many issues in our world right now. Jesus says, shine bright, and remember, as you shine, you're aiming that spotlight somewhere. You're aiming that spotlight on Jesus. We want people to see our Father in heaven. All right, here's the thing with just four verses, it's very simple. As believers, Jesus says, stay salty, bring the benefits that come with knowing Christ to the world around you, the care, the compassion, the hope, the life that's found only in Christ. Bring it to the world. And as believers, we're staying salty, we're shining bright, we're reflecting the light of Christ to the world around us so people can see Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, we have clear words from Jesus. You are salt, you are light. Jesus is not saying be salt and be light. He's speaking of something that you already are as a child of Christ. It's not a call to action here. This is a statement of fact. Jesus is describing the situation that believers already find themselves in, right? That's it. So now, relationship series, right? Relationships, relationships, relationships. As we think about our ongoing relationships with the community, as we think about our ongoing relationships with people in our community, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with people that might not know Jesus, these verses remind us of our purpose. These verses remind us of what Jesus has said we're supposed to be living like. We're supposed to point people to Jesus, fire up the spotlight, shine it on him with the way that we live our lives so that those that don't yet know Jesus come to know Jesus. That's it. Right? That is the reason why we have relationships with people in our community, right? We point people to Jesus. And as we do, look at the screen, look at that graphic again. As we live like this, as salt and light, pointing people to Christ, we're going to turn around and we're going to see people in line behind us following Jesus as well. And in the midst of a dark world, a hurting world, a hopeless world, a world that is turning, looking to make sense out of what is going on, well, we can walk in it as the lights of Christ, bringing the benefits, the love, the hope of Christ to the world around us. And as we close, I just want to give you three of the most practical action steps I can imagine to make these three points a reality in your life. And the way that I've broken this down is we've got those three points: stay salty, shine bright, show people Jesus. Here are three action steps, one for each point of things that you can do, things that I hope and pray every one of us will walk out of here ready and doing this week to shine the light of Jesus. Our first action step, it goes with stay salty. If you want to stay salty, here's how you do it. You love Jesus more every day. Jesus said in Matthew 22, love me, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus is very clear about his desire for your life. His desire for your life is to love him with everything that you've got and to fall more in love with him every single day, over and above every passion of your life, every activity in your life, every hobby in your life. Nothing should capture your heart. Nothing should capture your mind, your emotions, your imagination. Nothing should control you over and above your relationship with Jesus. But here's what happens. When we're not careful, we get distracted by the shiny things right in front of us. We get distracted by the superficial things or the temporary things of this world right in front of us. It takes our eyes and our hearts off of Jesus. Listen, love Jesus. Let him capture your heart above everything. Spend time in the Word. Spend time praying. Spend time talking with him. Spend time in worship. Surround yourself with other believers that are pouring into you as well. Ultimately, we love Jesus more as we continue to grow spiritually. Right? There's a lot of go and do commands in the Bible. There's a lot of times where Jesus says, I want you to go and do this. I want you to live like this. But none of those commands trump our call to love Jesus with all we've got. In Matthew 22, Jesus says, that's the top. Everything else will flow from there. And we're talking about this love for Jesus in the context of loving or impacting people around us, of not being last in line. Well, we have to know that it starts with our heart, with a deep, real, abiding love for Christ. We're called to love Jesus. And just know this. Your love for Jesus is going to communicate more to the world around you than your eloquence ever could. Right, you want to stay salty? Love Jesus. Make the choice. Fill your time, fill your heart, fill your mind with the things of God. Right? Stay salty. You do that by loving Jesus. That next command, right? That next point was shine bright. Right? Shine bright. You want to do that? Here's the practical action step. If you're going to shine bright, you have to get around people. Okay? Get around people. Write that down and then do it. I'm going to explain how to do that in just a minute. But if you want to shine bright, you got to get out from under the basket. If you got to shine bright, you got to be in a position where people that need the light are seeing the light. What's the verse say? Don't hide under the basket. Give maximum benefit to the light. Let the light go as far as it ever possibly could. When the power goes off in your house, and it's gone off in a lot of our houses several times over the past few years, what do? You get a lantern or a candle, right? And then you set it on the floor? You set it in the pantry? You set it in the closet? No. You get the light, you put it on the mantle. You put it on a table. You put it on the bar somewhere. You get that light as high as it can go so it can spread out to everyone that needs it. Same for you and me as lights of the world. We have to get around people. I took a personality test recently. I passed. I was good. Maybe you've taken those, and it tells you about yourself and what you're like and all of these kind of things. And so there's introverts and extroverts and everything in between. And the facilitator of this test was very, very careful to say this. Listen, doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert, you have to like people, right? You still have to be around people. You still have to connect with people. It might look different. Listen, introvert, maybe you want to be one-on-one or small groups. Extrovert, maybe you want the whole room. It's going to look different. Don't go take the test yourself, but it's going to look different, introvert and extrovert. But here's the thing. When I said get around people, when I said let your light shine for people that need it, if you begin to think, well, I don't want to be around people. I've got two or three friends and that's enough. I don't want to meet anybody else. Listen, I'm just telling you, you're wrong, right? Jesus says shine bright. Jesus says, get around people. If you right now are thinking, I don't like people, I don't want to be around people, go back to action step number one, love Jesus more, let him work on your heart, and as you fall in love with Jesus, the natural reaction is going to be, you're going to love people, right? You cannot love Jesus without loving people. Get around people. No matter your personality type, no matter what's going on in your mind, your heart, you have to be around people. Listen, Chelsea and I, we're still learning and growing, but I'd say in the last year or so, we've tried to be very intentional about this. We've tried to get around people. I want to encourage you, get around people. Here's some ways that you can do that. And let me just tell you that if you're trying to get around people that you don't know, people that don't know Christ, people in our community, I'm telling you right now, this is going to require sacrifice on your part. This is going to require you getting out of your comfort zone and out of your routine a little bit more than you've done in the past. If you want to get around people, here's the first thing you can do. Adjust your social life, right? It's really easy to call the same person every time, isn't it? It's really easy to connect with the same couple, to connect with the same friends. It's really easy to invite the same kids over to your house if your parents. It's really easy to get into a rut and to stay in a rhythm. Here's the problem with that. Man, you're shining your flashlight onto another flashlight, right? We need some of those times to be energized, but listen, there's a lot of people that don't have the light of Christ living inside them. How are you ever going to be around them if you never call them? How are you ever going to be around them if you don't connect with them, right? Adjust your social life. Make time for new people in your life. Not only your social life, if you want to be around people, open your eyes in your daily routine, right? Your daily routine. God already has you around a lot of people that need the light of Christ, right? You have neighbors, right? Walk across the street and knock on the door, right? You go to the same dry cleaners all the time, right? And learn the guy's name. Get to know him. Build a relationship with him. You go to the same Starbucks, man, learn the barista's name, and they're calling by name every time. Build a relationship with the person that's there. Listen, you do business with the same people, you work with the same people, your kids, you know, you go to practices and games, you sit by other parents. Listen, you're around people, right? Open your eyes to where God has you and begin connecting with those people. Build the relationships. And then the third step, if you want to get around people, this is going to take you off guard just a little bit. Open your eyes at church. I look around the room, there's a lot of people in here. Some are new people. Some are faces you don't recognize. Man, connect with them, right? See what God's doing in their life. Share with them what God's doing in your life. Build those relationships. You never know what God's going to do as you get around new people in our church family as well. Listen, step two, if you're going to shine bright, can't shine bright by yourself, right? Get around people. Don't shrug it off. I'm telling you, get around new people. Guys, put the graphic on the screen again, the you are here and the line thing. Let me just say that if you're never around people, if you are never connecting with people that do not know Jesus, I'm telling you right now, you are going to be the end of the line. The gospel is going to stop with you, and it was never designed to, right? Get to know people so the gospel can flow through you to other people. Mike Taylor, a friend of mine, mentor of mine, has been saying this for years. The gospel moves, you see it up there, the gospel moves at the speed of relationships. If you don't have a relationship with people that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that how's the gospel going to move from you into the next person, right? Get around people in your life. And then finally, right, if you want to show people Jesus, our action step for that is this. You've got to change the conversation. Right, at some point, you got to talk about Jesus. Think about the things that you talked about this week. I'm going to name a few things, and I'm assuming that 100% of the people in this room have talked about one of these things over the course of the past week. You talked about the weather, right? You talked about the gas prices and filling up your car with gas. You talked about the Astros at some point. You talked about the stock market or Bitcoin or fancy coffee. You talked about your kids or your grandkids. You talked about one of your hobbies. I was talking back there about Astros or the Aggie baseball team playing in the regional championship this afternoon, right? Well, we talk about things, right, with lots of people. We have a wide range of things that we talk about at some point. I'm just telling you, if you don't want to be the end of the line, if you want the gospel to flow through you, at some point, talk about Jesus. Let me give you a tip on how to do that. When you're connecting with somebody, a new person, an old person, ask them to talk about themselves. Ask them questions. What was life like for you growing up? Where are you from? Hey, what did you do as a kid? What was your favorite vacation as a kid? What sport did you play as a kid? And as they talk, listen. Resist the urge to jump into the middle of the conversation. They're going to talk about their kids or grandkids, and you're going to feel this urge to talk about your kids or grandkids too. Don't do it, right? Be quiet. Be quiet and let them talk. I'm telling you, people think they're experts at a lot of different things. They're not. But they are experts when it comes to themselves and their life. And when you ask them about it, man, they get excited and they begin to talk about it. And the polite thing for them to do in return at some point is to ask about you and your life. And when they do, that's when you can share Jesus. That's when you can say, hey, this is important to me. My church is a big deal to me. Let me tell you about my life group class. Let me tell you about when God answered a prayer in my life. Let me tell you about how God has changed my life. Any number of ways you can get that out. At some point, you're going to talk about Jesus, because if he has your heart, he's going to shine through in your conversation. Years ago, I heard this phrase, what grips the heart wags the tongue. Think about that. What's got you here is going to come out here. Jesus said it, didn't he? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If it's here, it's coming out. If it's here, people are going to hear it. And let me just take the pressure off. The majority of the conversations that happen from anybody, pastors, life group teachers, deacons, any believer, that the majority of the conversations that we have in the community with people about spiritual things, They're not overly eloquent, right? They're not overly deep, they're not overly impressive. But let me tell you what they are. They're real, right? They're genuine. Why? Because we love Jesus with all of our heart. Because we love the people around us with all of our heart. When you speak about Jesus, when you speak about what's in your heart, it's going to be real and it's going to be sincere because of the incredible love that you have for him. What grips the heart wags the tongue. When he has our heart, we shine that spotlight bright on him. And I just want you to think about it. Right? There's thousands of relationships that our church family has in our community, and those relationships mean something. There's a purpose there. God has you connected to those people for a very specific reasons. Friends, work, neighborhood, at the gym, the barista, the dry cleaners, wherever God sends you this week and every week, remember what Jesus has said you are. Not what you're trying to be. Remember what Jesus has said you are. You are salt and you are light, pointing people to the incredible love that Jesus has for him. Right? And he's called us to follow him, to follow after him. Just remember, don't follow him as the last one in line. Leave a trail of the gospel behind you wherever you go. Would you pray with me? As you bow your head and pray this morning, this is going to take some boldness here because you never know what God's going to do with this. I want you to pray right now and ask Jesus to just bury and sink this truth deep down in your heart and mind. Say, Jesus, remind me that I am salt. I am light wherever I go. Jesus, empower me to fire up that spotlight at work, in my home, in my neighborhood, wherever I am. God, fire up that spotlight in me to shine people to the love and the light and the hope that they can have in you. Just pray that right now. God, remind me. Anchor it down, front of mind, front of heart. I am salt. I am light. I can live with purpose, doing what you've called me to do, pointing other people to the hope that can only be found in you. Pray that with boldness and confidence, asking God. If you're here this morning, maybe you're here this morning because somebody's been salt in your life. Because somebody's been light in your life. Maybe you're here this morning because somebody has gone out into our community and they love you so incredibly much that they invited you to come and hear about the one that could change your life. If that's you and you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you this morning, do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus as your Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 1, to all that receive Jesus that have called on his name, he gives the right to become children of God. If you've never trusted in Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with God this morning, that's why you're here. That's why God has you here. It's no accident. This morning, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to take a step back into our connection room, talk with one of our pastors, one of our prayer partners, and just say, I'm ready to trust Christ. They'll open up the Word of God with you, and they'll show you what it means to trust in Jesus as Lord. Some of you this morning, man, that next step for you is baptism. I'm just telling you, when you're baptized, you are shining a bright spotlight on Jesus and what he has done in your heart and in your life. If that's you, don't leave here today without talking to one of us about baptism. And then finally, as we're praying, let me just ask this last question, and then we'll close. When you think about being salt, when you think about being light, hopefully you're praying about that right now, asking God to just reaffirm that in your heart. Let me ask you a question. Who are you shining, or who's seeing that spotlight that you're shining? Right, who is it that you're pointing to Jesus? Who is it that you're inviting to come to church with you? Who is it that you're inviting to Vacation Bible School? Who is it that you're inviting to camp? Who is it that you're taking out to coffee and asking about their life and sharing a meal with? Who are those people? Right, part of being able to do this is understanding and knowing who God's placed in our life. As you're thinking about those people right now, remember, this is a relationship series. Think about those relationships and pray over them. Pray that God would give you grace and favor. Pray that God would give you the boldness to speak. Pray that God would give you the words to say, the open door, the opportunity. Listen, all around us every day. Every day. God placed us in this community for a reason. Let's be salt. Let's be light. Let's point people to Jesus. God, we love you and we thank you for what you've done in our hearts. God, we thank you that as your children, God, you've given us purpose here on this earth, God, to bring you glory by pointing other people to you as well. And God, I pray that we would be a church. God, I pray we would be a church that never, ever loses that saltiness. God, I pray that we would be a church that as we're lights, that is never hidden under a basket. God, send us out in the world to make a difference and an impact for your kingdom because of the hope and life that we know is found only in you. God, do not let us be selfish. Do not let us keep that to ourselves. God, do not let us be the last ones in line. Flow through us, God, on your way to someone else, Lord. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.